Hey, you're listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to Ordinary Radical Podcast. It's like a monthly conversation between your host, Jonathan Hayashi, and the co-host, Brandon Boldner.
That's me.
That will help you grow disciples in the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission. Yo, what is going on?
You know, it's just been a lot going on because we just moved. So we moved into a new city closer to good old St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. Working on church plant stuff and just figuring out some life, man. God is big, though.
Dude, that's cool, man. I was just saying, like, man, I can't imagine moving. That would be, like, major anxiety attack for me. But, man, I heard something happen, like, you know, before you moved. And, you know, you have, like, a God-moving testimony story,
I have a God sighting that I want to share. This may take a little sizable time, so just I think it's going to matter to somebody. So, we moved down there, and I've gone to part-time pay in order to make all this happen. And that, you know, it puts your family on a budget, right? Mm-hmm. So you're figuring out some budget issues. Well, our car broke down.
Ooh,
and
man.
Not only did it break down, it was going to be a huge amount of money to fix the car. Like half the value of the car.
I'm getting an anxiety attack right
just
now.
Just thinking about it. Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, I came to church that Sunday, and I had this real thought, and I don't know if you've ever had it before. And people who are listening, if your money's ever been tight, you know, I grew up in sort of a poor family, so I we didn't have a lot of money. So I think of these things. It came down to I have my tithe in my hand. Do I put my tithe in? And I'm sitting there thinking about that, and I know the right answer. Of course you do. You have faith. But there's really just a little moment of maybe I won't get the car out if I do this. Okay, so I tell you that to tell you this. You know, I acted in faith. I put my tithe in. And then next day I go, and I'm pretty much going to empty out our bank account in order to get this car, because we have to have two cars. We've got four kids, got everything in life, you know. And so we show up to this mechanic, and he hands me the bill, and on the bill it says zero. And
whoa.
I said, "What? Why does it say zero?" He said, "I don't know who, but someone came in and paid for your bill."
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That is awesome.
So I trusted God, and I just to lift up God and glorify Him a little bit. The bill for my car was over double what I gave in my tithe, right? So God more than multiplied by times two the money that I gave back to Him in less than 24 hours. And I don't say that to be like, you know, challenge God, tempt God. No, I say that to say God loves you, and you just got to be faithful and trust Him. He always takes care of His children.
Wow, that is so encouraging. I mean, you know, like, we're going through international adoption with our boy that we're going to get from an orphanage, an institution in Bulgaria, and my goodness, that's just a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord. In fact, just this week, we were $1,000 less. Like, we had no money. Like, my saving has mm-hmm. like $3 right now. And it would have been like, wow, but God brought the money right on time.
Wow.
So, like, just like that, you know, just like God does really move in ways that we had no idea expected, but God just provided in the right timing, the right amount. So I love that. Just God moving and providing. Yeah. So, you know, brothers and sisters, trust the Lord. I mean, like, it's scary at times, but, like, you know, God is faithful. And I think we forget that, and God provides. So that's cool. Thanks for sharing that, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it would lift someone up. Someone needed to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited to get into our topic today. You know, last week we talked about music, and we're continuing with the idea of music. And what are we talking about, Jonathan?
So it just kind of was on top of my mind. I was kind of driving here, and then, you know, I thought about, man, we, you know, it's Sunday afternoon and we're just hanging out, and I'm just thinking, why don't people in the church sing? You know, why aren't people singing in the church?
Yeah. And so we got a good show ready for you, and I'm sure you experienced this exact same thing. Jonathan has a book in his hand called Sing, and I'm sure he's jumping in to look at some stuff, but I've been reading books. I read one called Why Johnny Can't Sing Hymns, I think. You know, some different things. And You know, this is something that impacts. If you're a worship pastor and you're listening, I guarantee you've looked out on a Sunday morning and felt a little bit of discouragement because people weren't singing.
I mean, seriously, I mean, or church, I'm thankful, like, you know, people are singing out loud. We were singing this new song that came out, Who You Say I Am. And it was just beautiful. Like, we put our mics down and people were just singing, declaring, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Just, I am chosen. I'm not forsaken. I am who you say I am. It's beautiful. It's just declaration to the Lord. He's faithful in my Father's house. You know, like, the Lord is faithful. And it's just awesome to experience it. But I know not every church is like that. And sometimes I was just thinking, you know, I wasn't thinking because our church is not singing, but I was thinking, you know, wow, this is a dilemma it seems like many churches face, you know. So, I mean, you know, coming back, you know, like, it seems like an oxymoron because I think we are a music community. I mean, and I'm not even speaking as a church. We're speaking like in the 21st century, right? Like, we love music. I mean, no one would say, I hate music. I mean, people love, enjoy music. It's part of our culture.
Yeah. Every house has its CD player. You know, the houses used to have album, you know, record players. Mm. So we all have that, right? The cars come standard with a radio for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, music is such a big part of who we are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but on the way here, I was listening to songs. I was singing out loud, I'm like, on top of my lungs. And I know many people do. I mean, like, you know, you're around, you know, birthday. You know, my daughter's going to turn 2 next week, and we sing together, happy birthday. Even people who are not musically trained, you know, just common people, they sing. But somehow we come into a church and people don't sing.
Yes, I agree. You know, I've been driving down the road before and looked over, and I've even seen people singing the same radio station. They're listening to the same radio station I am, singing the same song. And all of a sudden it's like, you too, me too, you too. They can't hear you, but it's exciting. But then how come do you park your car here at the church and you walk inside and it's like, you turn that part of you off? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know, because I was talking to you, like, you know, AGT, America Got Talent, you know, there's this huge choir movement, and like, they're the final five finalists. People, choir's coming back. I mean, I was just talking to a parent this morning, you know, show choir. That's huge with high schools and, you know, competitions and, you know, marching band. But it seems like a contrary, like, maybe churches are behind, it seems like. So I guess we could just go down the list. Like, why aren't people singing?
Yeah, and this is not... This list we've made, just thinking about it and sort of pondering the idea, it's not going to cover everything, but I think we've hit some really good points here.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I think we mentioned is that we are just musically illiterate.
Yeah. I mean, we have talked about this at some point, but I remember watching, any of our listeners, do you remember, have you ever watched I Love Lucy? And shows like that. And you would see people get around a piano and they would sit there and sing to the piano and people would be reading the music. Houses used to have pianos, a lot of them. That's not very common anymore. You can go on Craigslist now and someone will be throwing out a piano. It won't be tuned because it hasn't been used in years, but they'll give it to you for free. So
That's
a big change.
Yeah, I mean, like, even within our church, I mean, you know, we have a coffee shop that's owned by one of our members. And somebody's just going to freely give a standard piano. I mean, like, pianos were back then really expensive. I'm kind of a piano guy, so I'll get real excited about that. But today, yeah, like you're saying, like on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, like, you just find people not even selling it. They're trying to get rid of it. You know, I think about churches back then, you know, there was this thing that was called Baptist hymnal, you know?
What's that?
What? Yeah, I mean, like, Babylon Bee, this website, it's hilarious. They said, in order to advance for people to sing better, they put the words off the screen and they provided this book called a hymnal.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, back then they had hymnals and there were these, like, little, it looks like a little tadpoles, you know, like, it's on these little lines, right? You know, and it was like, what is this? It's like ancient, archaeology of a finding. We have no idea. They're trying to send a message. But I mean, like,
hieroglyphs?
Hieroglyphics. What is this, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like, you know, people could read, you know, like, SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass parts, and, you know, they naturally could read. But today, it just, people sing by ear, it seems like, more so.
Yeah, and we know that people listening, you come from all different backgrounds. Many of you still use a hymnal. I'm sure you do. So maybe this is something that you've even thought about. But a lot of the modern churches, the contemporary worship, that doesn't exist anymore. That ability to read music isn't there. And if I'm fully honest, I don't really read music very well at all. Mm-hmm. So I play chords, which is what contemporary worship music has gone to. It's a chord-driven music. Mm-hmm. And I just read the chords and I play the chords is all I do.
I mean, I think it's incredible. I was just talking to another guy after service. And you know, he said, "Hey, what is this PDF file?" And it was a chord chart. He's like, "I don't read that. I need an actual lead sheet or a vocal sheet, four part playing together like a traditional hymnal would look like." And but that's rare. I don't have that conversation very often because a lot of people are like, "I don't know that, but I know chord charts." Mm-hmm. So it seems like the culture has changed and that it's just musical illiteracy.
There's no notation for someone to sing. Mm-hmm. So either you've heard the song or you haven't heard the song, and all you're going to get is the lyrics up on the screen.
Yeah, that makes it hard for people to sing, and that's one of the reasons.
What's another reason we have here?
So I think, personally, you may be first time visiting a church and you're around with a bunch of people that you don't know. You're kind of sitting close to each other, whether pew or comfy seat or every church is different, even across the denominational lines. But just fear of people may hear you, and you don't want to sing out loud, and which kind of ties into the next point. But yeah, I think there's fear in singing.
Yeah. There's fear in everything anymore, right? There's fear in speaking. There's fear in, I think we talked about the greeting time. Some of churches have it, some don't. There's fear talking, saying hello to people now. You don't want to shake hands. You don't want to see eye to eye.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, we have three different services. We have like 600 plus people. And it's fearful. I've been there 4.5 years. And I greet somebody who's like, "Hey, welcome to our church. My name is Jonathan." "Well, I met you like 3 years ago." I'm like, "Oh." I mean, like, it's tough. I mean, like, we have three different services. So, like, first, second, third services. And sometimes you just don't remember. So you just, like, act like you know the person, right? So, like, there's genuine fear. Like, would they like me? Would they not? Yeah. So fear is always a component.
And so when you're standing next to someone, there's that fear of, do I sound okay, or am I prohibiting their worship? So part of that becomes worship style, doesn't it? Because in some churches, they've just cranked up the music so loud that you can't hear the person next to you. But I would kind of argue against that, because you're missing one of the core foundational things for singing on a Sunday, and that is corporate music, corporate worship. I don't come because I'm singing in my car. I come because we're supposed to join together.
Wow, that's deep. Yeah, so that's the third part that we're talking about, just musical, physiological, like, just this volume is too loud, or just genre, just not familiar with it, mm-hmm. Because we kind of talked about that from last episode on episode 7, so if you want to kind of check that out, you can go ahead and check that out as well. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. What else you got on our list, man?
So I think this is huge. I don't know about you, but musical unfamiliarity.
Yeah.
So the song is going to begin to play, and they're singing, but they don't know the song. So what happens is that people begin to cross their arms and say, "I don't know this song, therefore I'm not going to participate."
Yeah, and there are certain genres that are less played in church. I was playing some Christian hip hop, on this morning. Actually, it's Sunday morning right now when we're talking, but. And one of the people in the church looked at me and said, when I start hearing that, I turn my brain off, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that happens with other genres, just maybe more rocky music or drum driven music, and people just turn their brains off completely.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's deep. I was also thinking maybe some more senior adults, mm-hmm. seasoned members in our churches, they grew up, they didn't have as vast of a multitude of selection of songs compared to the 20th century and the 21st century, and that we have such a huge library. So the songs they remember singing, like, I'm thinking of the song Walk of Ages, mm-hmm. great song, or, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." We did that recently. All the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. These songs are good, but because we're doing some of these newer songs that's been written, but because the melody is unfamiliar, or what about this? Like, they do these hymns, but they do it with a new melody. And mm-hmm. they're like, "Well, the theology is deep, but I don't know the melody, so I'm not going to sing to it."
Right.
Yeah.
But what do you say to the person, whenever you get to that point that you're talking about, there's many people that have told me, and maybe you're going to get to it later, so just stop me if you are, but Brandon, this is how I worship. I worship better by listening.
Wow.
Yeah. I hear that a lot.
You know what? I hear that too. So worship is a private thing.
Yeah.
So I just love to listen to what's happening. Yeah. So definitely that's one of the reasons as well.
Yeah. So they made it a private thing.
Yeah. Know. Well, last but not least, the fifth reason that we think that people don't sing is because they say, well, I'm just not musical. I'm not a music person. And, you know, I don't know about you. Some people tell me, well, I just like to make a joyful noise. Well, which means they can't keep a tune, so therefore I'm not going to sing.
Right. Yeah. And I hear that a lot. Some of the people that I've heard whenever I'm singing that give me the most joy, honestly, are the ones that can't hold tune. I just hear people belt out, and I'm thinking specifically of a man with Down syndrome. A young guy with Down syndrome was in our church. And this was 10 years ago. But from the stage, I could always hear him singing. Mm-hmm. And if you know a lot about Down syndrome, most kids with Down syndrome, they have difficulty finding the key. But I could hear him, and he was worshiping. I loved it. I always loved hearing people like that.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. And I think, again, how we determine what success of worship, it perhaps is contrary to how God sees what a successful grace metrics, let's say, of what, you know, true worship is.
Mm-hmm. And that was a great word from Jonathan. Hey, this is Why Aren't People Singing in the Church? This is part one, and we got part two coming right up. Take a listen to that, and thanks for listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast.